This is Tim and Liz.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Coming to the Cambridge Junction tomorrow night is a new innovative project called Orchestra of Samples. It's by Addictive TV. They're sampling over 200 musicians that the duo recorded around the world. As I say, they're coming to perform at the Cambridge Junction tomorrow night with special guest jazz trombonist Dennis Rollins and Stomp's Paul Gunter. And we can speak to Graham and Mark from Addictive TV on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, only got me, Graham, not Mark.
Oh, where's Mark?
He's ill in bed. I'm a bit sick as well. We've only, a couple of days ago, just got back from India, and I think we've both caught something. Not too untoward, but we were fine out there, and then it was one of those, you know, you're flying back and you suddenly feel ill on the plane. I think we both picked up rather nasty kind of colds.
Hopefully you'll recover by tomorrow night.
I do too as well. I perform inside a plastic bubble.
Now, your performances do look amazing with the big screen behind you, which shows video footage of you recording around the world. Is that right? And then you're playing live in front of it?
Not quite. No. It's not, because what you're actually seeing on screen is what you'll be hearing as well.
Okay.
It's not just footage of us recording. It's actually the recordings. So we sample, you know, like most kind of music producers and DJs do, where they record musicians and they'll sample, or they even take a sample from another record. What we do is actually record the musicians just improvising. We've recorded over 200 of them now around the world. And we simply then sample them to create new music, building new music out of all these samples. But the difference with us is it's not just audio, it's video. So we actually film them while they're improvising. And when we sample them, we sample the audio and the video. And then we also then trigger that during playback. So it's quite innovative in that sort of sense. And so what the audience sees on the screen isn't unconnected kind of just footage of us sort of gallivanting around the planet. It's actually footage of the instruments they're hearing.
Live.
Live.
That's amazing.
So it's all via MIDI, and so one laptop that's doing the audio is triggering the video, etc.
Very clever.
And so, so what you're seeing on the screen is what you're hearing. So when you hear somebody playing trumpet, you'll see it on the screen. When you hear somebody playing some unusual instrument from China or Japan or somewhere, you'll actually see it on the screen, and you see the person playing it in the location that we've filmed them. And then on top of that, obviously, we're also performing with percussion, particularly with Paul Gunter, who's one of Stomp's... he was one of the original Stomp guys, and he still does a lot of the Stomp work. And then Dennis Rollins, MBE, who's an amazing trombonist, is going to be performing with us as well.
Brilliant. If we take it back then to where this idea first came from, because this is quite an undertaking to travel around the world and record all of these sounds. I mean, where did this idea first come from?
It came from us actually travelling a lot with our other show, because we're quite known for kind of chopping up movies. And so we would take sound effects in movies from, you know, car skids and door slams and spaceship explosions or whatever, or superheroes fighting. And we would sort of take those sounds and turn them into music. So they would make kind of the beats, or we would make sort of melodic lines out of the sound. I mean, it sounds very odd and unusual, but it's kind of like, I mean, for us, you know, DJing is so kind of 19th century or 20th century.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of like, you know, I mean, that's why a lot of people are a bit kind of, oh my God, when they kind of see what it is we do, because we're, you know, it's like seeing somebody being entertained from about 50 years in the future. But it came from the idea that we were traveling a lot and doing our other show, and we thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if we took a camera and some recording equipment everywhere we went and just met up with musicians locally? So it was all done. That's why it's taken now about 8 years to kind of put the whole project together, because it was all done very much piecemeal, slowly, bit by bit. Everywhere we would travel, we would just, you know, sort of, and just doing it in our own time, until eventually we got partners and found funding, etc., which took quite a few years. And that's why, then very, very slowly we would just, everywhere we traveled, which is why it's now encompassed everywhere from Colombia to China, Kazakhstan, all across Europe. Where else?
It says
Brazil, Mexico, you know.
You went to over 50 countries. Have you got any standouts, musical-wise, or places that you visited that you loved?
Oh, everywhere. I think
yeah.
I'm one of those people that likes my food, so I really like Mexico. And, yeah, I mean, Mexican food is just unbelievable. And when you go to, and China particularly as well, but then everywhere you go, we've just found incredible. I mean, standout, possibly we recorded some dombra, which is like a two-stringed guitar-like kind of instrument. It's the national instrument of Kazakhstan. And that was just incredible, kind of, you know, being there and filming that.
Yeah, I can imagine the whole thing. You've got the music, the people, the backdrop, the whole, and then bringing it all together. And that's what your music is about, isn't it? Bringing how music brings the world together, and we all share this.
Yes,
passion.
I mean, we call it a musical journey without borders, because it is very much that's what it's about. It's about kind of breaking down those barriers, not just kind of sort of culturally and bringing people together in that sense, but very much musically, because I think a lot of people would never listen to a particular type of music, or they would be alienated by it, or they would never listen to certain instruments, say like a sitar, and they say, oh no, I'm not into Indian music, or I would never listen to kind of classical Indian music, which isn't obviously what we do. But then we recorded an amazing sitar player called Baluji Srivastav, and you know, we've kind of cut that up and turned it into like a Daft Punk sort of style track, where you wouldn't believe it worked. But it does, and so with sitar, and so it's kind of one of those things that it introduces people to instruments that they've otherwise possibly never, you know, encountered or heard of, or would never consider, and then it kind of opens up paths to kind of, you know, completely new kinds of music. I mean, even for us, we were recording so many instruments that we'd previously never even heard of at the time, like a crystal bashe we hadn't heard of, a dombra we hadn't heard of. See, I could read off these names and you won't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, you have to see the show, and you have to sort of go to the blog on our site, which is, you know, a bit like an encyclopedia now, and you'll just see photos of all of these hundreds of instruments from all around the world. I mean, people say, are you ethnomusicologists? And you must be by now, because it's effectively like, you know, we've been living like a live course in ethnomusicology.
Yes.
Like sort of discovering all these kind of musical instruments from around the world.
Yeah. When you went out and travelled, did you have any idea when you went to a country, did you have a particular idea of who you were going to meet or what you were going to record, or was it all pretty much done as you went along?
Mixture of both. Sometimes it's friends of friends of friends. Somebody would introduce us to somebody, and so, you know, we would get there and we wouldn't know them, but we knew what it was they were playing. Or alternatively, what happened in most cases is quite often a festival who were very helpful and say, oh, we know somebody, we will hook you up with a musician. They would hook us up with somebody, and we had no idea what it was they played or, you know, sort of who they were until we actually met them. And then sometimes we found out they were actually sort of quite famous musicians in their countries, you know, they've kind of, some have, you know, sort of huge numbers of followings, or been in big bands kind of, you know, in the 90s or something, or, you know, one we did recently in the Czech Republic, I didn't realise, was also an amazing kind of saxophonist, but was also an actor. And he was in, do you remember the film Once?
Mm.
The Oscar-winning Irish film.
Yeah.
They made a follow-up kind of mini-series to that, and he acted in that.
Mm.
And we didn't know. I didn't know that until we met him. And amazing musician. So a lot of the time, yeah, we often don't know what it is that people are going to play until we sort of meet them. And then sometimes they might play multiple instruments.
Mm. I was going to say, you and Mark must get on very well to travel the world and spend 8 years putting this show together. Do you?
you have to. I think it's one of those things. I think that with probably any band or any kind of duo or something in that kind of sense, you've got to, like, sort of, you know, live in each other's pockets 24 hours a day when you're kind of travelling and, you know, and spending 14 hours on a flight next to each other, and then, you know, and you're in the same hotel, and then you're setting up in the... And I know you've got to. You've obviously all got to get on in that kind of sense and you know, and be able to joke about it all.
But also, not that you don't just travel around for this project, but I noticed on your bio that you also perform these things in different countries as well, and you played Glastonbury and you played in Paris as well. Particularly those two stood out on the bio that I read. Are there any particular highlights, places that you performed that stand out in your memory?
Came
Have you played here before?
Once, very, very, very long ago, actually. It was such a long time ago.
Do you remember where it was?
It was in a slightly different guise. It was when I used to do just visuals when I was VJing back in the day, and I did a gig with Derek May at the Junction, funnily enough. And so it's the first time we'll have come back to Cambridge and the Junction.
Okay.
Standout. We did a big gig on a beach in the Reunion Islands once next to Madagascar. That was amazing.
That does sound amazing.
You're putting me on the spot now. Sorry, yeah. I have to say
that having if you go on to the Junction website and you can see some YouTube videos of the stuff you do, and it gives you an idea. I was actually really blown away. So I'm not sure I'm going to like this, and I loved it. And I thought the concert would be so exciting and like a sensory overload, really.
A lot of people do say that, and often you can see the jaws dropping of people kind of not, you know, having experienced that kind of thing before, where, you know, audio and video is obviously very synced when you see movies and when you watch TV. But kind of in the gig environment, it so often isn't. You know, the visuals are often very much just kind of an addition, and they're often not created by the music artist, who's actually performing. And so I think that often people haven't been exposed to something where the audio and the video is very much all as one, if you know what I mean. And the performers performing on stage with, you know, instruments are part of all of the same thing. So I think that's why we performed last year. In fact, that's a big standout show. Nowhere that exotic, but was WOMAD. We played. We performed last year at WOMAD, we were headlining the B&W tent on the Saturday night with this show, and that was just phenomenal. It was just phenomenal, and we had queues of people afterwards wanting us to sign the albums, and some of the comments people were saying that they hadn't heard of us, but they were reading about it, and they'd saved up a ticket to come to see a huge artist like Soy George. But they said, when I saw yours, your project, they thought, if I don't come and see you here, I may not see you somewhere. And he said, whereas I can probably go to Brazil or wherever and see Soy George. And so they came to see us instead of Soy George on the main stage. And they said that, you know, they were happy they'd made the right decision. We had a lot of kind of people saying very nice things like that, which was very touching.
And it is lovely to see the people playing the instruments and the countries and the setting. It is kind of something very personal and intimate about it, isn't it, when you see...
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that they're quite moved by it, which I think is, again, a very, very nice kind of, you know... It's nice when you hear those kind of comments. And I remember once we performed it at the Errata Museum in St. Petersburg in Russia. And at the end of the show, a woman came up to the stage and she couldn't really speak English, but she kind of made this sort of hand gesture above her head as if, like, her mind had been blown. You know, she was sort of putting her hands up above her head and sort of, like, making waves. And I sort of understood what she meant. Mm. Well, unless she was being rude and disingenuous and meant something completely different. But, I presumed that's what she meant. And she didn't then put her thumbs up and so I think when you get that kind of reaction, it's very, very, very nice. But having said that, there are obviously the complete flip side. We did it. We performed it once in Italy. And I remember some guy came up to us afterwards, and he just said, where did you get all the footage that was on the screen? Did you just download it from YouTube? And what was it? And I said, what do you mean, what was it? And he said, is it just like all lots of random shots of musicians? And I said, couldn't you tell that the music you're listening to is what was, you know, being played in all the samples? And he sort of went, oh, no, I hadn't noticed. So I, there is no accounting for sort of, you know, stupidity in some quarters, that you might have some members of an audience who simply somehow don't quite understand what it is that they're actually watching.
Yeah. So Cambridge tomorrow night, and if you want to go along, you want to find out a bit more about the background of all of this, then you're doing a pre-show talk before the performance, aren't you? Which is, I think that's at 6:30, but you need a ticket for that. And then the main performance is at 8 o'clock. It's in J2 at the Cambridge Junction.
Oh, I didn't know you need a ticket for the talk. I thought that was all part of the thing.
It says on the website it's ticketed event, so I will go with that.
I think they mean the whole thing is ticketed. I don't think you need to buy a ticket just for the talk.
It's a free talk, but you need a ticket to get yourself in. I guess that's for numbers and stuff.
Oh, so you mean, I presume they don't want people just coming along to the talk and then leaving.
Exactly, yeah. So that's at 6:30, and then the main performance is at 8 o'clock at the Cambridge Junction tomorrow night.
Yeah, it often helps, which is why we often like to do them, but we often get asked to do Q&As and talks where people can kind of ask questions about, you know, the instruments and where we've been and how we've recorded, you know, the material and how we sampled it. And because it's still something a lot of people are quite sort of, you know, amazed about when they see it sort of performed in that kind of manner.
Well, it's an amazing project, and I hope you have a great time in Cambridge tomorrow night, and plenty of people turn out for it, and more importantly I hope that you're both better and well enough to come to Cambridge tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. I hope we don't go, sorry I sound a bit sort of you know, gruff and my voice sounds very deep, but
it's fine.
I normally sound much more like
now. It's a fantastic idea and quite an achievement, and I think the concert will be amazing.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Come along yourselves, hopefully, and just let us know, and come and say hello, and I'll give you my cold.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that. All right. Cheers, Graham.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye.
Looking forward to it.
That's Graham from Addictive TV. You can see perform tomorrow at the Cambridge Junction.